Hello everyone, and welcome to minute 23 of season 10 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we hijack our way through the 1974 action thriller, The Taking of Pelham 123, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today on this lovely Wednesday is Richard Kirkham of Kirkham, A Movie a Day. Welcome back to the show, Richard.
Thanks, Rob. Glad to be here. Hope everybody's having a good time listening to these episodes.
Everyone's having a good time except for the hooker on the train. she's not too happy right now.
No, she has to sit down again.
That's right. So minute 23 begins with the hooker verbalizing her disappointment and ends with the old man commiserating. So we ended things yesterday with Blue giving instructions to Doyle, and the hooker decides to mention that she wants to leave also. She has a very important meeting, an important appointment, and Blue tells her to sit down. So this minute begins with her saying, "Oh, sh-." So yeah, she's a little disappointed about this whole thing. And then, Mr. Blue looks out towards where Danny Doyle is walking. And then he hears a voice from behind, and it's the mother of the two children. And she goes, "I'm sure you wouldn't mind if the children were to go." And she, stands up, and then he goes, "Sit down. Will you, madam? Didn't you hear what I said? I said nobody else leaves." So the actress who plays the mother here, it actually shocked me to find out the information about her. Are you familiar with her by any chance?
Have you seen her? Not off the top of my head, although she does look like she has a familiar face.
Okay, so her name is Anna Berger. She was born in 1922. She passed away in 2014 at the age of 91. She has appeared in 86 different movies over the course of her career. And she was very prominently in a Woody Allen film, The Crimes and Misdemeanors. She played Aunt May, which is one of the characters when they're, I believe they're sitting at the Passover Seder. And she's very verbal there. And it's very funny because if you look on IMDb and you see the picture from Crimes and Misdemeanors, you can definitely see that it is the exact same woman, even though it's 15 years later. Right. So yeah, that's always fun, just seeing people, show up now and then over the years. We get the impression that Blue is just, He's holding his cards very close to his chest, but we know that he purposely wants to keep these kids here, because that will make it, I guess, in his perspective, it will make things easier for them to get what they want, get the ransom and things like that, by holding on to children also, besides these other random people. I mean, again, being chosen as a hostage in this particular movie was a complete luck of the draw. It depends on which car of the train you got on. Yeah, that's all it is. It's it's completely random. It's like when we play the game at the end of every episode. There's someone just spinning a wheel, and that's all it comes down to. It's very funny because when the mother asks the question, she's smiling and also trying to be very cordial, trying to let the trying to get Blue to agree to let them out, and not going to happen. And then the old man says, "Excuse me, mister, don't you think we should be let in on what's happening?" Again, this goes back to what we've been talking about the last few days. The fact that these passengers really believe that they have the right to know what's going on is just so baffling to me. Do you think it's more just there for the exposition in order to give us more of an idea of what's really going on here?
Well, I would think that the a group of people, since it's obvious that they are not going to be killed immediately, they're responding to the pressure of the situation with the curiosity that anybody would have. Now, the sense of entitlement that you are suggesting they have, that may just be partially the New Yorker attitude that's going on. I don't really think there's a lot of exposition in the answers to any of those questions that they have. We already know what's going on, so there's not really a need for that. It's just that they're uncertain as to what their status is going to be, how are they going to be held, or what the circumstances. And they even ask at one point, I know it's not in my minute, how much they're being asked for. I don't think it's in my
That's right.
minute. I'll have to double
No,
check.
it's going to be much later on when
Yeah.
he says a man likes to know what he's worth,
Right.
that type of thing. But again, it's when I'm saying that it adds to the exposition, it adds to explaining to us first of all the passenger's curiosity, but at the same time also showing how much Blue is adamant in keeping to his strict schedule and his strict planning. I mean,
Also,
he already mentioned, I think it was last week, that we're already 2 minutes late. Meaning that he
I
has
also
the
think
perfectly
that
fine.
their curiosity is natural at this point because they haven't been assaulted yet. But in a moment, that's about to change, and I think the behavior of the passengers is a little bit different after that moment.
Okay, true. That's true because they I mean, again, when they were told last week that that they're being hijacked, they all started laughing. Everyone thought that they're
Yeah,
on
they
the
thought at
camera.
first it was a joke.
That's right. That's right. And Blue's response is straightforward. He goes, "What's happening, sir? Is that you're being held by four very dangerous men armed with machine guns?" And then the old guy just looks and goes, "I suppose you ask a foolish question."
Yep.
And then panic lets in, and some of the passengers start making noises and stuff like that. And Blue goes, "Be quiet, be quiet. Nothing will happen as long as you obey my orders." And then the guy who's known in the credits as the pimp says, "Man, that's what they said in Vietnam," which I gotta say. It's a great line for them to add in a movie that was made at this time, because like nowadays it would seem as if it's just a stereotypical response if you had that in a movie. But because this is happening during the time of Vietnam, and to have the character express that, I think it works really well
Well,
in the movie.
it's one of the things that obviously there are several things that kind of give away the era of the film, and it's
Yes.
certainly one of the ones that points to it, that particular time.
Right. And so the actor who plays this character is George Lee Miles. And I mean we mentioned him briefly I think 3 weeks ago when he was the guy who was standing waiting for the train with Blue, who said to him, "Well, you've never seen the sunset before." So, I mean, we already know that, again, this is another outspoken character in this movie. So he was born in 1945, passed away in 2021 at the age of 75. He was also in the movies The Warriors, and he was in one of the Purge movies, The Purge Election Year. He was also in Malcolm X. He was an American Gangster, the Ridley Scott biopic, I guess you can say. So yeah, it's an interesting character, the way that he plays this thing here. He only has 11 IMDb credits, which makes you wonder what he was doing his whole career. Maybe he was on the stage, maybe he had a different job. I don't know. But I like the way that he plays this character here. And
Yeah.
after he makes his comment, so Gray walks over to him and just it just gives him a big punch in the face.
Yeah, smacks him in the face with the machine gun.
That's right. Because, I mean, his full line is, he goes, man, that's what they said in Vietnam, and I still got my ass shot full of lead. And then that's when Gray hits him with the gun and goes, shut your mouth. And, you know, you see that definitely is something that's going to hurt. He goes, and keep it shut. And you see, as you mentioned, you see that the rest of the people around are taken aback that something like this actually happened. And not only are the passengers taken aback by it, but so is Mr. Blue. He goes, Mr. Gray.
And he kind of directs Gray, him away from.
That's right. And Gray decides he moves him. He like motions to him with his head, like move to the side. And Gray moves away from everyone. You know, I love Hector Elizondo in this role because it's so much against everything that we've known about him, you know, throughout the last 50 years of his career.
Yeah.
You know, he's always playing a nice, charming guy or whatever it is. I mean, I'm sure that there are other movies where he's played the villain, but here he's playing a very brutal villain.
Yes.
And knowing who he is now is very surprising, you know, when you look at it and say, wow, I can't believe that this is, the same actor from the whole thing.
Well, he was probably fortunate at the time that he wasn't being cast against type. He would certainly, if they were casting it now and putting him in it, it would be, he would not be the type, and they probably wouldn't have even considered him.
Correct. And, you know, then we get a little panning shot of the other hostages here. And, you know, as you said, these hostages are starting to get a little scared. They're starting to realize what they're dealing with here. You know, little by little, that this is not going to be a picnic for them. And you know, the pimp deals with his bloody lip, and the old man looks to him, and says, "It's terrible." Now, what's your interpretation of what is he trying to say there?
He's trying to offer a little bit of empathy and sympathy, and suggest that. Being treated this way is inappropriate. We kind of get this the message in two parts here, because the follow-up is in the next minute as opposed to this.
Tomorrow we're going to talk about the follow-up of that, yeah.
All right, so the old man at the moment is simply being empathetic with the situation and trying to be supportive of one of his fellow passengers who's a victim.
Mm-hmm. But you know, everyone else realizes that there's absolutely no reason for any of them to try and stand up for anyone else here, because you know, this is not a simple situation.
Yeah, like I said a minute ago, they were maybe a little bit more assertive and questioning before that. I think subsequent to this incident, they are a little bit more cowed, and there'll be other reasons that they will be even more afraid in the not too distant future.
Correct. Correct. We will have to wait for that to occur. We're still a few weeks off before we actually get there. But maybe 2 or 3 weeks till we get there. But yeah, you're right. It's slowly building. I mean, that's one of the things I love about this movie. Here we are, 23 minutes into this movie, and the tension is still just building. Even though we as the viewer know more or less what's going on here. You know, we don't understand everything as to the why of everything, but we know what's going on. And you know, they thrust us right into the action of this whole thing. You know, they don't give us a very long build up before things start moving here. And I like that a lot. I think that That helps keep things that much more suspenseful and thrilling by the way that they do this.
I agree.
Okay. So is there anything else you want to say about this particular minute?
I don't have anything else to add.
All right. So every Wednesday we have a segment called Hijack Hunte, where my guests will give their top five movies that feature some sort of hijacking. So once again, why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
Well, number five, I didn't necessarily do it in the order in which I love the movies so much as I did it in the order in which hijacking is a part of the movie and the focus of the film. So my number five has hijacking at the beginning of the film, but it's not the main part of the film, and that's Escape from New York, where the president's plane gets hijacked by a group of terrorists who crash it into New York City, which is a prison at the time, and of course,
Need Snake Pilsen.
Snake Plissken has to go in and get the president. Number four is Con Air, which is completely silly but a lot of fun, where a group of prisoners who are being transported by airplane, and they are violent, not good people for the most part, take over the plane and use it to escape and subsequently engage in all kinds of mayhem. And of course, it's got a ton of actors in it that are chewing up the scenery. It's always fun to see, Nick Cage and John Malkovich and Steve Buscemi and what's his name?
John Cusack.
Yes, thank you. It was there, having
Okay.
just one of those old man moments. Number three is Executive Decision, which has Steven Seagal in it for a surprisingly short amount of time.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about that movie.
and of course, it stars Kurt Russell, and it features an attempt to thwart a hijacking midair and an unlikely scenario, but the option that they have is to destroy the plane. And that's I like the scenario that they've created here to try and justify what they're doing. Number two is the least entertaining of these films, but probably the most accurate one, and that's United 93, which kills me to watch because it just is so horrifying to think about how much it really represents what happened on that horrible day. And, the passengers in that plane, they took heroic actions to try and save themselves, but also save the country. And they probably had that kind of impact. And it's an incredibly sad story, very well told. And it's everything in it is very believable. We don't know exactly what happened on the plane, but this is probably as close an approximation as you're going to get. And then number one is what I think maybe the most fun of all of these films, and the one that features the longest actual hijacking period, and that's Air Force One, where once again we're dealing with the president's plane being taken over. But we get Gary Oldman chewing up the scenery, and we've got Harrison Ford playing a hero. And there are once again a very deep cast of supporting actors here, some of whom are have big careers in front of them. Some of them are actors that you'll see in a thousand TV shows subsequently. It's just a very entertaining film and kind of a fun premise.
Definitely. All right. Excellent. That is a great list. Thank you very much for that. Okay. So now we will once again play Name That Remake. So let us spin the wheel and see what remake we're going to get here and see if it's something that Richard is going to be able to guess just by the ears once again.
We'll see. Take a shot. Take a shot.
Okay, the original movie came out in 1943, and the remake was made in 1989.
All right. Is this always in a guy named Joe?
Excellent. That is
All right.
great. How would you describe that movie without giving it away by by saying that a pilot dies and comes back as a ghost.
Well, that's without saying that.
Yes.
Oh, let's see. It's a supernatural love story featuring pilots.
Okay. That's an interesting way to do that. I like that. I like that. I mean, you saved me having to try to think of some way to try to explain the whole thing. So, yeah, so it is appreciated, as always. All right. Excellent. So, Richard, would you like to once again tell people where they can find Richard Kirkham?
Then you can find me on the Lambcast on a weekly basis. The Lambcast is the official podcast of the Large Association of Movie Blogs, and we do a weekly show. You can find it on all of your podcatchers out there. And also, if you go to YouTube, we usually have an illustrated version of the podcast. It usually takes a week or two for me to get those ready because they take a lot more time. I have to add visual content to it, and I have to find it and select it all, as opposed to merely editing out all of the mistakes that I make during the regular podcast. And then my own personal blog site is Kirkham A Movie A Day. I have both a Blogspot version of that and one that you can find on WordPress. If you search Kirkham A Movie A Day, both of them will come up. The Blogspot one has links to all of the activities that I do online. So you'll be able to find lots of content there if you're interested.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. If you want to send me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@moviearound.net. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter. And you can find me on Facebook. So, until tomorrow,
at you. Gesundheit.